Today we're going to continue our study that we've been doing on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. And last time we were together, we started to look at some noteworthy verses in the book of Hebrews. And that's where we're going to pick up today. So I want us to turn together to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 14. And the Word of God says this: "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." This passage is one with which every believer should be familiar, for it renders every modern priesthood null and void, whether it be a Jewish priest offering animal sacrifices or a Roman Catholic priest offering the continual sacrifice of the Mass. It's a waste of time and blasphemy of the Word of God. You see, my dear listeners, Christ's sacrifice on Calvary was eternal. He offered it and then sat down, signifying a completed work. So some Catholic Bibles remove the comma after the words "forever," so that it appears that Jesus is sitting down forever. Forever sat down on the right hand of God. No, the sacrifice for sins is forever, not the sitting down, because we know he's coming back for us believers, amen, at the rapture. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And the Word of God says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Here is this verse defines faith. And what we see here, faith has two components, substance and evidence. So anything less than that isn't true faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 with me. The Word of God says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." What we have here before us is another great verse on faith, and how you and I can't please God without it, amen. Alrighty, as we continue looking at some noteworthy verses in the book of Hebrews, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and look at verses 12 through 14. The Word of God says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Here is a passage with which all believers should be familiar. Our temptation is to remain eased at Zion. As Amos chapter 6 says, Amos 6:1, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, and trust in the mountains of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came." So this passage shows us our temptation is to remain at ease in Zion by hanging out in recliners, pews, and fellowship halls. But our commission, my dear listeners, is to follow Jesus outside the camp and bear his reproach by witnessing, distributing tracts, and street preaching. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, and we want to Look at verse 15, Hebrews 13, verse 15. We read this, Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. What I want you to notice here is, my dear listeners, notice that praise concerns the use of the lips, not the heart only. Those who truly praise God will open their mouths and be heard. Amen. All righty. Let's turn now and look at some noteworthy verses in the book of James. And first we turn to James chapter 1. In verse number 19, James 1, 19, the Word of God says this: Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And what's interesting is people are generally just the opposite, are they not? Even ourselves sometimes, we're swift to speak and slow to hear. Amen. Now let's look at James chapter 1, verse 22. And the Bible commands you and I, the Bible says, be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Amen. So, what I want us to see is this. God never intended us to be like a sponges that soak up water and then grow sour for the lack of dispensing the water. No, we are to be like wells that receive a regular supply of fresh water and then regularly give that water to others. We are to hear the word of God and then do it. Amen. And if we don't, as the word of God says here, we deceive ourselves. We're not just to hear it only, but to hear it and then put it into practice. And if we don't, if we believe just hearing the word is good enough, it's not. We're deceiving ourselves. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 24. The word of God says this. Amen. See then, amen, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Now, this is one of the most understood verses in all the Bible, taken out of context regularly by Campbellites of the Church of Christ and Charismatics. The verse is used to teach that a man cannot be saved by grace through faith alone, although that's clearly what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 states that he can. According to those perpetual novices, it is faith plus works that justifies a man before God and not faith only. The problem with this private interpretation is that the context isn't referring to a man's position before God, but rather his position before his fellow man. A careful reading of the whole chapter, especially beginning at verse 14, amen, makes this clear. The point of the passage is that genuine faith will produce some genuine works, and that one's fellow man will see these works and know that it's real. If he sees no works, then he knows he's dealing with a hypocrite. You see, the whole passage deals with our testimony and fruit before men. That's why verse 24 says, "You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. It's not a general statement that men are justified by works, but rather a specific statement on how a Christian is justified before his fellow man by having works that prove his faith. Amen. When we get saved, there ought to be a change in us. What our desires, our speech, our thoughts, how we act. And if we witness to someone and tell them that we're saved, then they need to see some evidence of that. Amen. Alrighty. Now, we're not going to read the verses, but I just want to comment on James chapter 3. In verses 1 through 18, this whole great Bible chapter deals with which to be familiar with, since it deals with one of the most deadly things around, the human tongue. So as a believer, you should be very familiar with these, with this passage, because it talks about the tongue, amen, and how deadly it is, and how we need to bridle the tongue, amen, like you bridle a horse, and how we guide a ship. That little small helm governs where it will go. So we need to control our tongue. We need to tame it, because it can be unruly, and it can be full of deadly poison. Amen. Now let's look at James chapter 4 with me. We're going to move on as we're looking at some noteworthy Bibles in the book of James. In James chapter 4, verse 7, the Word of God says this: submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, we are never told in the Scriptures to fight or take on the devil. Our job is to resist the devil, as did Michael the archangel did. In Jude 9, we read in Jude verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Amen. Very important to remember, we're not to fight him, but to resist him in the Lord. Amen. All right, we're still in James, and we're going to turn now to James chapter 4, verse 15. And the Word of God says, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. All I say is amen. Instead of saying, so long for now and I'll see you tomorrow, we ought to say, I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Amen. Hey, we're not given the next day, are we? It's only we're given the next day if it's the Lord's will. You know, we often forget this, but we need to remember. Each day is a blessing from God. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 17. James 4, verse 17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So here we have a whole new category of sins introduced. Sins of omission. It's not enough to not do the bad things, but we must also be sure to do the good things, such as loving our neighbors, witnessing, praying, giving, reading the Bible, worshiping, glorifying God, and so forth and so on. Amen. Now here we have, turn to James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What I want you to see is faults are to be confessed one to another, and that sins are to be confessed to God. Amen. We all have faults. You know, some of us are impatient. Some of us do things that bug other people. We're to confess those. Be honest about those things. But we're to confess our sins to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God and who is our mediator. Amen. All righty, James chapter 5 and verse 17. We read this. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now, we aren't told in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18 how long the drought lasted. But here we are told that it was 3.5 years, making it a type of the reign of the Antichrist when the tribulation plagues hit. We read in Revelation chapter 13, verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, or 3.5 years. Okay, so we've looked at some noteworthy verses in the book of James. And now we're going to turn our attention over to the book of 1 Peter. We're going to look at some noteworthy verses in the book of 1 Peter. And we go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. And the Word of God says, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. What we want to see here is this. I want you to note that election is based on foreknowledge. It is not unconditional, as the Calvinists teach. Amen. And another thing about this verse I want you to see, here we have mentioned the Trinity. Amen. The foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit. There's the Spirit, the Father and the Spirit. And then unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son. So we have the Trinity mentioned in this verse. All right, let's look at 1 Peter. Chapter 1 and verse 11. We read this. Searching what or what manner of the time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, some teach that the Spirit of God would come on a person in the Old Testament, but that he would not come into a person. The teaching is refuted by Peter's comments in this verse, which says that God's Spirit was in them. Amen. The other thing I want you to see here is we have shown here in this verse the first and second coming of Christ. So we see it says beforehand the sufferings of Christ. Amen. That's the first coming. And the glory that should follow. The second coming will be in his glory. There won't be any suffering. The only ones who'll be suffering are the ones who took the mark of the beast during the tribulation. Amen. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, the Word of God says, "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Amen. Here we have a great memory verse, a great memory passage on the redeeming power of the blood of Christ. Amen. 1 Peter, we're looking at some noteworthy verses in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The Word of God says this: "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Now, this verse goes well with John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, Jesus' instructions to Nicodemus on the need for the new birth. A birth that is not of flesh, but rather of the Word of Almighty God. 1 Peter chapter 24 to 25, we read this: "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Now, here's a couple of good verses on the preservation of Scripture. Amen. It also shows us that man's life, man's flesh, amen, is temporary. It's equated to grass. And also whatever fame or fortune he may achieve, his glory, is of the flower of grass. Both of these, the grass and the flower of the grass, both wither and falleth away. But there's one thing, the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. And Peter tells us this is the word that he preached unto those then, that he's preaching to us now. But also, what's interesting is we also see that if we turn to the book of Isaiah in chapter number 40, if you turn to Isaiah chapter number 40, and let's look at verses 6 through 8. Notice what it says. The voice said, "Cry," and he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Amen to that. So here we see the verses being quoted in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. Now let's look at 1 Peter again. Chapter 2, verse 2, as we're looking at some noteworthy verses in the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, "As a newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." A verse tells us a Christian cannot grow without the word of God. And it is as natural for a new Christian to desire the word of God as it is for a baby to deserve or desire milk. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, our word of God says, Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see Bible-believing Christians do not believe in a priest class within the church, because the church itself is a holy priesthood under Jesus Christ, the high priest. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 tells us, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Amen. So the church is a holy priesthood under the leadership of our high priest, Jesus Christ. All righty, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And the Word of God says this, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God of great price. So, my dear listeners, this is a great passage for all Christian ladies to know. A woman of the Lord bears no resemblance to the typical woman of the world. Amen to that? Okay. Now let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 in verses 12 through 16. We read this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing that happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Now, what we want to see here is suffering in various degrees is a part of the Christian life. We should not be surprised by it, and we should be made sure that we do not bring it on ourselves with irresponsible behavior. Amen. Well, we're going to stop there today. And when we meet again on the Pastor Study, we'll continue our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible, and we'll look at some further noteworthy verses here in the book of 1 Peter. Again, I want to remind each and every one of you when we conclude our study, this whole study will be available on CD. All you need to do is drop me a line at the address given at the end of the broadcast, and I'll get it out to you. And want to remind folks, if they haven't already, please visit my website, allthecounselofgod.com, allthecounselofgod.com. All the words run together. Well, till we meet again, may God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.